Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 378. My name is John Morgan. Cold coffee is with me, and shall we just get into it? Happy birthday to you.
Yes, indeedy.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, cold coffee. Happy birthday to you.
Like the episode of this show, I am 378 years old. Tomorrow, by the time we're taping this, but by the time a lot of you are listening to this, today.
Congratulations, sir.
I made it.
And because of that, we have broken it out. Of course, you have been doing very good in training camp, and you have cut down on the beverage consumption level. And
if I'm not hanging out with you, I haven't really been drinking.
Well, there you go. A wise man. But it's your birthday Eve. It's basically your birthday. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to be around tomorrow since we're hanging out today. We figure, why not crack open a couple of frosty beverages? I grabbed a couple of award-winning Pabst Blue Ribbons out of the fridge.
As
I thought,
you know,
let's just have a couple of these bad boys to get the birthday celebration going.
To get it started.
And then what does cold coffee say? He's like, well, let me check into the old cabinet there and see what we got. And found a little bit of the legendary Duke still hanging around.
This is so good.
Founders Reserve Tequila.
This is the one that we all lost our minds over, because by the end of that night, we got pretty tipsy, but we didn't feel it. But then, like, later on, it was very evident that this shit messed you up, and it is so smooth. I was actually a little surprised. I thought we finished it off one of these days, but this is a nice surprise.
Yeah, it's a birthday surprise.
I've said many times, I love me some tequila. Tequila gets me in trouble, but I love tequila. The tequila buzz is so good, and this one is really, really good.
Just to let the residents of Las Vegas know that they can be safe tonight. Cold Coffee has promised not to leave the house. He says, listen, I'm going to get a little tipsy tonight. There's no question about it, but I'm staying home even though I'm celebrating my birthday.
There will be no talks of Ukraine. There will be no political.
No political fights.
Happening.
Getting knocked out by Kimbo Slice tonight.
So ridiculous. I tell you, I would feel a lot better in a fight now after even just 2 weeks of running my ass around, as opposed I would back then. But not that I advocate anything. But
never. More prepared now. But now that the weapons are even more deadly, now you've really got to keep control over them.
Kimbo Slice 2.0.
Oh, well, listen.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad it just happened to work out. Cheers that this fell on Wednesday, because, I wasn't honestly planning on doing anything, but this does give me a nice excuse to imbibe a few frosty beverages, and even now, even more so that we're breaking out and getting to finish this
breaking
little bottle
out
of tequila.
The Dukes.
Welcome to the party, folks.
Well, listen, glad we could celebrate a little bit. Almost didn't get to do this episode with you. I almost didn't make it back. I was in Belgium over the weekend, had a great time. I will say it's funny. When I was heading out, man, I'm not one of those, I'm not like a poetic guy or whatever. I don't even know how you would say this exactly.
I look at you and I'm like, he looks quite poetic.
I'm a little rough around the edges. I know. But listen, what happened was I looked out and I grabbed my passport. And I had to renew my passport in 2020. I think it was actually to go to Fight Island. I think in the very beginning of the pandemic, I had to renew my passport. So, you know, if you look at my passport from the previous 10 years that I used from 2010 to 2020, it's got 52 pages of completely full stamps. You know, there's a
did
visa.
You have to add you? So
I had the 26, and I had to add the 26 pages to it. It's got a visa to Brazil, a visa to China, a visa to Russia, stamps from everywhere around the world. It's beat up. It's all, I mean, it's war. It is the passport of a traveling man, right?
Yes, indeed.
This is somebody that's seen the world. Man, I picked that passport up that I renewed in 2020 to go to Fight Island so that I could head out to Belgium.
Yes.
And it's just stiff and shiny and doesn't have, because they didn't even stamp it when we went to Fight Island, so it just looks like I've never got it. Just it was this stark reminder of how different the last 2 years have been versus the previous 10 that I had this like. It was like, hello, I'm traveling for the first time.
Hey, new guy. Do you like to fly?
Which line do I go to? I don't know where to go.
That is something about the passport. I messed up when I had to reorder my passport like a couple years. I didn't realize of the difference that you have to specify the pages, like when you first order. Mm-hmm. And that was my rookie move, is that I didn't double check the pages. So when it came, it was like extra thin. I was like, oh, this isn't going to work. But then the world shut down. I was like, oh, okay, it's absolutely fine. It's fine. But I still had to carry the extra one. I still have a valid Brazil visa because it was like a 10-year visa or whatever. So like I still have the other one.
Mine's done.
Yeah, when I look at the new one now, I'm like, I'm going to have to add pages. That, well, at least that would be a nice thing. But now that we're not traveling as much, I'm like, maybe not.
Kind of weird, right? This stark reminder of how different life is. So, listen, I had a great time. Shout out to the folks at MMA Bushido and Gökhan Yücel'i was the one that the friend of mine that had me out there as a guest, and I was hanging out in Belgium for the first time. Man, I had a phenomenal time out there. Frosty beverages in Belgium are on a different level, man. I can't even tell you how many different beers I had, and every one of them was incredible, man. I mean, just like everything they do, it is cracked up to, man. So if you're a Frosty beverage fan, find your way to Belgium at some point. I had a phenomenal time.
So you and Yuri both living the Bushido lifestyle then, huh?
I'm living that Bushido lifestyle. Not cutting my hair, though. No, man, we cigars along the way.
That was a pretty cool picture. I like that little – it looked like it was just like a little – was that just like an outdoor – plaza or like a restaurant?
It was just it was a bar. So the beer that was
the outdoor patio,
the beverage sponsor, the official beer sponsor, they actually had that, you know, I guess they brewed it there, and that was but it was on the corner, this really busy little corner in town. I mean, it was popping, and they put together a little VIP table for us right on the corner, and brought some cigars out there, and man, I mean, just, you know, to hit the ground like that, like I was 12 hours in and I'm like cigar in hand, several beers deep, sitting at the VIP table. I'm like,
that's a restart. You just restarted your night right there.
This is all right. Now,
that's cool.
I will say this. Then we got to the hotel, and as is typical of a lot of places in Europe, it didn't have air conditioning, right? So they were in the middle of a bit of a heat wave. So I will say it was a little bit difficult to sleep at night. I am a spoiled American that is used to having my air conditioned down to like 68 degrees at night. My box fan blowing to give me some loud sound, and
I would say that helps a lot too, just the white noise. Mm-hmm. But were you able to open the window to have like
the window's open, got a little breeze through there.
That's good.
Was nice. It ended up being okay, and it cooled off as we were there. Then it was time to go home. then that's where the adventures began. And so it was funny. So when I got there, you know, we were kind of talking about the weekend and what the schedule was and everything, and Gökhan and the rest of his team, they're like kind of like, hey, just to give you a little heads up, we'll keep you posted on anything we're here, but we're hearing there might be a little bit of a strike at the airport on Monday, so we're not sure what the flight situation is going to look like. It was a Sunday night show. By the way, the show was cool, man. VIP tables only, like white tablecloth. I mean, VIP service, open bar. Oh, yeah.
Did you wear pants?
No. That dress code applies to the paying customer, sir. I am an invited guest. I will wear my shorts in here. I stayed in the back a little bit, so I stayed out of the way. But everybody had a good time. But then it was time to leave. Show was fun. Then it was time to leave. So we'd heard about this going in. So late Sunday night. So basically my flight was scheduled to leave, I think, around like 7 in the morning. So we got back to the hotel around like 1. Then we're having a couple frosty beverages afterwards.
And As you do.
And I was like, I'll probably just kind of stay up, man. If we're leaving at 7, I got to fly home. I'll just do a little all-nighter. And I got a text. United Airlines would like to inform you that your flight has been canceled, but we've rebooked you. You were supposed to go to Chicago. We've rebooked you for 3 hours later. You're going to Washington, D.C. instead. And I was like, all right, 3 hours later, like, well, maybe I'll just get a little bit of sleep, actually. Like, no big deal. You know, I was like, I'll get a little bit of sleep. And then about an hour after that, get another text. United Airlines regrets to inform you that your flight to, Washington, D.C. has been scheduled. And there's no, like, and we put you on something else. So I was like, all right. So now I had to get out the computer. I realized that was the last flight out for them. So I'm like, well, there's nothing they could put me on. So preemptively, I'm like, all right, well, let me book a flight on American Airlines. I got, you know, United is canceled. Let me see if I can get something on American, because maybe it's just limited to them, you know.
Right.
And booked a flight on American. And American let me buy the ticket, but it never issued the ticket. And it was because that first leg got canceled. So it was supposed to be Brussels to London, London to – I can't even remember because I didn't even care. Oh, London to Phoenix and then Phoenix to Vegas. But it never even issued me that ticket because their flights were canceled. Well, basically, I went to the Brussels airport website to see if I could see like what flights were going to be available, and up came a message that said, like, unfortunately, due to a labor strike, Every flight.
So
it
wasn't the airlines. It was more like maybe say like a ground crew that affected all of the different
security
ones?
Personnel. Oh. So security personnel's on like strike. No flights
their version
whatsoever.
Of a TSA or something.
Probably. So they even said don't bother coming to the airport. So at that point I was like, all right, well listen, what are we gonna do here? I gotta figure out what's up. And everybody was just like, hey man, you know what? That just means we'll get to hang out tomorrow, man. We'll just have some more beers tomorrow. We'll go find some places to eat. And I was like, nah, man, I'm not feeling good about that. Like, yeah. I'm having a good time hanging out here, but how do I know that this strike doesn't go to Tuesday or to Wednesday or to Thursday? So I was like,
speaking of, is the strike still going on?
I don't know. I didn't follow that up because so check this out. So I was like, you know what? Let me. I was like, you know what? I think I'm gonna try to take a train to Heathrow. And there's so many more flights out of Heathrow than there are. I was like, I don't care where I go in the United States. So I went to Heathrow. This was awesome. One of the referees there actually worked for Eurostar as well. So he was able to hook up like a discounted price. So I was like, dope. All right, cool. So took no sleep, took a flight to Heathrow, or took a train to Heathrow overnight, got to Heathrow, went to the airport, walked in, and I was just like, hi. Can you please get me home to Las Vegas? Like, I don't care what the flight path is. I don't care what connections you are. I don't care where you got to put me. Just can you get me home to Las Vegas? And they looked and they were like, guy, I'm sorry. Everything's booked. Like, you're just stuck here. Like, no, we can't. So I was like, upset. But immediately I was like, all right, well, let me see what I can book for tomorrow. And I booked a flight for the next day. And I don't know if I'm supposed to publicly share this travel hack. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if I should say this or not. Check this out. And I want somebody that is in the industry that can explain this to me, because I imagine there's some logic behind it, and I get that it's probably like, you know, I don't know. I'm sure there's some logic, and I want to hear what it is. A one-way flight from London to Las Vegas was $2,400. However, if I booked a round-trip flight with the same segment, but a return flight a week later, $1,300. How does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's almost twice the price to go one way when I got it. Anyway, so you know what I did.
I feel like it's always sort of done that where, for some reason, the one way has always seemed like it's been more expensive.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. You figure it would just be half.
I need half the flight.
I need half the flight.
I need half the flight. Charge me half the price. I don't get that. I would like somebody to explain this to me. So anyway, so I'm stuck in Heathrow for a day. I'm a little bit tired because I haven't really been to sleep yet, but I also don't want to just go sit in my hotel room. So I just tweeted out, hey, is anybody hanging out? Like, does anybody want to, in Hounslow, want to grab a beer? Unfortunate, because Abby Subban, longtime MMA junkie videographer,
Subban,
he actually lives in Hounslow, which is out there by the airport, by Heathrow, but he was still traveling back from the Philippines, so I missed him by a day.
That's crazy.
But lo and behold, shout out to my man Barry, who hit me up on DM and was like, dude.
Barry?
He's like, I'm around. Do you want to go get some beers? And I was like, let's go.
Let's go.
And, I'm going to say
did
this.
Did you just say it like that, or did you say, let's fucking go?
I think I just said, let's go.
You're probably tired.
I was a little tired at that time. I know. That's kind of more my signature, but I think I just said, let's go. Shout out to Barry. Barry went hard in the paint, dude. Like, Barry went beer for beer with me. For about 5 or 6 hours, and to the point that I was the one tapping out. He was like, bro. He was like, bro, let's have – he's like, bro, we got to have one more. And I'm like, dog, I got to go to sleep, man. Yeah. I'm like, I'm hurting right now.
English can drink, dog.
Barry went beer for beer with me all
that's
after
awesome. –
and not moderately. I mean, we was putting down too. So shout out to Barry. We had a good time. We just sat there and talked to MMA. At one point, at one point we called you.
Yeah.
Because I
was
like,
so surprised when you were like, I saw I missed a video call. I was like, oh, he must have butt dialed me.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, why the fuck is Morgan going to video call me? And I knew you knew what time it was. I was like,
it was like 7:45 in the morning.
It was like 7 something in the morning. Yeah. So I didn't get it till like, it was like, we had finished class or something. I was like, oh, he's drunk.
Well, you were right.
You're right.
You were right about that. But Barry is like, man, he's like, I've never seen Cold Coffee. I was like, well, I'll just call him right now. We can video call him. You can see what he looks like. I was like, I think he's working out right now.
That's so
but he'll
funny.
Be finishing up his workout. So we did that. At one point, we called his buddy who couldn't make it. If I remember right, and again, I'm not sure. I might have not have all the details right. I think his buddy had just tested positive for COVID, so he was quarantining and couldn't make it out. And I was like, well, let's just call him and talk to him real quick, and like
that's
just like
awesome.
He was here. So,
dude, you might have got lucky. It's funny. I just tried to do a search to see if Belgium, if it figured out or whatever. The one that you had wasn't even this other one that I'm reading about. There was a planned strike for the 22nd. through like the 25th or 23rd through the 25th.
Oh, Jesus.
So you hit a whole other strike. But the, like Brussels Airline or something, whatever, Brussels, whatever, had another strike that was planned. So what you got was like another
Oh, my God. And then, and then I heard as well that there's been a rail strike in England.
Yeah.
Dude, I found like the little pocket of time to get out of town.
That's the like stuff like that, even outside of, well, granted the U.S. is restrict or has eased some restrictions, but that sort of stuff, that's the side of traveling that is not fun. That's mm-hmm. the side of traveling that if you don't have the means to be stuck in some place and say if you have obligations, say if you already were pushing a trip and you're like, well, should I make the trip 5 days? Oh, let's go 7 days. I think we have a little bit extra buffer. That's the kind of shit that breaks you on those big international trips. If something goes wrong and it's tough to get back, like it throws everything off, you know. So luckily you had a strong partner back here in the States to take care of things. But still, man, that's my fear of doing. I mean, I love, if you have time and vacation, obviously you need to leave the country. You need to go see other countries. But that's the downside. That's the other part that you never think about. Everyone gets to the vacation destination, but you never think about, like, you just assume, well, if I make it there, I'll be able to get home. But then there's cases like this where it's like, what if you can't?
What if you can't, man? It was a little bit stressful, and I was bummed because I missed one day of my kids' soccer camp, which is this week, which I like going and just kind of hanging out with them and just supporting them and, like, talking to them between the sessions and stuff like that.
I don't think Barry – you say you got stuck in Atlanta. I don't think Barry would – you know, that second day, third day rolls around. He might be like
– Barry's like, bro, we've had enough.
Bro, I bought you enough beers.
We have had enough, man.
Get out of my country.
I appreciate him looking out for
that
me.
That is
so
pretty cool.
Made it back in time. Made it back late last night. Had dinner with the wife. Got some sleep. Woke up today. UFC on ESPN 38. Saruk versus Gamrot.
The fight card you've all been waiting for.
Well, listen, I'm going to say, man, for a hardcore perspective, to be honest with you, I love this fight card.
I mean, that's what it is. This is a hardcore card because, I mean, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but when you look down the list that you're like, why am I watching this? But it is a hardcore card because, I mean, there's awesome fighters on here, but no casual person will recognize anybody on this card, well, outside of maybe like a Neil Magny.
I think you're right about
that. You know,
that. I think you're right about that.
I mean, Kelleher, Jin Yu Frey, you know, I mean, like, this is a tough card
if you're a casual. If you're a hardcore, though, you love it. And I think you're especially excited about Armin Sarukyan versus Mateusz Gamrot, the main event. This main event is sick. This main event is not to be missed. This main event is going to be a big one in terms of these guys. I think both these guys are going to be around for a while in the lightweight division, but one of them is going to take a major step forward. Both of them primarily grapplers first, so I know that may not be the most exciting for some people, but, you know, I love grappling. I love high-level grappling. These two guys bring it.
I had a person that told me today, that, like, when I told them I was at media day, we're like, two guys, like, getting in, like, 69 position, you know, and they're bloody and they're sweaty and they're blue. I was like, well, you know, that's typically a transition period where they move or whatever. I was like, but that's what you're getting stuck on.
Who is this person?
I'm not going to throw them under the bus.
This is not somebody in the industry, right?
This is a person that likes, no. This is a person that likes boxing, but she, well, whatever. I was trying to be all, like, non-gendered. She's very hot and has great big tits, but she's wonderful. But we started talking about this, and I was just like, no, don't be one of these people that's like, oh, boxing is the best, but MMA is just weird because people get on the ground and they're just two guys rolling around.
It's sad, but that's still a reality that people do think that way.
I was kind of thrown off, and I felt like I was like, well, I must get into educate and defend mode, and I was like, Why?
Well,
I'm just like, whatever.
This to me, I mean, look,
maybe
the casuals won't see it, but I love this.
They're uber high level at that point, and both of them have hands as well. I mean, you're right. I mean, this is like, and when you look at the records alone, even if you just said like, hey, there's going to be a 20-1 guy fighting a 17-2 guy, they're currently ready to break into the top 10 of the UFC rankings.
Be enough right there.
That should be enough to where you're like, okay, my interest is peaked. And then once you start, finding out the difference of the two, and then you start seeing that there's a little international flavor to both fighters, and you're like, okay, cool. Like, this is new breed of the international studs that are coming in and are on the precipice of, these are guys that are going to take over
absolutely
the division at some point. You know, same like with like the Makhachevs, and everybody's already kind of already ingrained with the Nurmagomedovs. You know, these are the cats coming from overseas or whatever that are breaking the doors down. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so yeah, in that sense, I mean, that's really cool. But what's cool about these two is these guys got hands. This is not two jiu-jitsu guys that are just like, oh, well, man, I can't wait to see how the jiu-jitsu goes. I mean, these are two guys that, you know, will literally thump people ground and pound, but also have good hands standing up as well. I mean, mm-hmm. So it's going to be very, very cool. They just don't have the – even if you don't – and it might be one of those ones where, you know, say if a casual is like, I'm not sure about the names, I don't recognize the name, you might even recognize the face because these guys have been around. I mean, yep. they've done some time. It is just very cool. I mean, it's one of those ones that it's for the first time in a while. This is one of those ones where I guarantee you, if you polled 10 people on the streets, this is the UFC fight that's happening. You're going to get a lot of blank looks.
I agree. You know? But this is the one right here. This is the one that the hardcores are like, I mean, just rubbing their hands together. Mm. Like, oh, I can't wait. And that's the way I am, man. I love this fight. I will say this. I do favor Sarukin in it. I mean, I've been incredibly high on Sarukin during his run-up.
Yeah.
Shout out to both guys for doing their media day in English today and embracing that. And man, even trying to have a little bit of swagger. Are you going with Gamrot?
I did, but man.
Gamrot's dangerous too.
Everybody, like most people in the stat picks that I've sort of skimmed. I try not to look at the stat picks.
Because
I don't want it to, you know, what's the word? I don't want it to influence my decision when I put my pick. But everybody, I think, is picking Sarukian for the most part. And then part of me is like, well, as a staff, I don't want somebody to log into our site and just be like, oh, they're obviously going. I feel like somebody's got to do the other. But I don't feel so bad about this pick. But, man, when Sarukian's up there, I was like, man, he's thick. You know, for his size, he's a little bigger body. But I was mm-hmm. like, and he's got great hair. Because Matt Erickson always wants us to give some bullshit reason when we make a pick. I was like, that could be my end. I could just like, hey, I want to pick
phenomenal hair.
He's got phenomenal hair.
Snappy dresser.
I'm like, is that enough to switch my pick? But then there was some – you have to be in this game. He's very – his belief in himself is very strong.
Yeah.
Almost the way to the point where he's just looking over Gamrot like he's not even there. I'm like, that's silly. So part of me is like, oh, man, is he just talking a good game? Is he overconfident? So now I'm like, maybe I'm trying to fight my gut instinct of switching because I'm like, once I saw and was paying more attention, I'm like, God, Sarukian is a beast, man. But I'm like, maybe I stick with it. I have a two pick lead right now.
Nice.
You know, so I'm like, but now I'm like, You know how fighters do. You don't want to just, you know, fight to win. You know, you don't want to fight to not lose.
That's right. You
know?
Got to win, man.
You got to fight to win, you know, so I don't want to just pick to not lose.
I know how fighters know? Like you do. I know.
Fighters don't do the Duke on a weekday.
On a random Wednesday afternoon.
No, they got to go train tomorrow. They don't do that. So I clearly have removed myself from the fighter pool.
Big main event. Big hardcore co-main event too, dude. Shavkat Rachmaninoff against Neil Magny. Shavkat is a guy that, again, another one of these new era dudes, undefeated, finishes every fight, looks every bit the real deal of the next generation. And then you got Neil Magny, who just like doesn't care at all. Neil Magny will fight anybody, which I respect a lot. And Neil Magny today, I like it, man. He's kind of embracing this new chapter in his career, right? He's saying, like,
I love Neil Magny.
I mean, God, I always loved Neil Magny. I mean, just like literally just, hey, man.
Everything about him.
I'll take whatever fight you need, whatever. But, you know, he was mentioning the word marketing today more and understanding, like, okay, he's in this stage of his career now where he still has title aspirations. And he realizes, look, just fighting anybody, anywhere, anytime isn't going to be enough. Even if I rack up the wins, I got to make myself a little bit more marketable as well. And so, you know, he kind of said, I'm not going to be outside of myself. You know, I'm not going to do something that's not me and not my true character. But I understand I got to push myself a little bit more, and that's what I got to do. And I think, you know, I come in here and beat this, you know, this boogeyman that nobody wants to fight. And, you know, I'm willing to fight down in the rankings when nobody else is. Everybody else is waiting for the perfect fight. And I'm saying, give me whoever. That'll be a big feather in my cap.
Which is kind of it's kind of like counterintuitive to the guy that's like, I'm trying to make a title run. I was really not that I was surprised, but I was a little surprised when some of the stuff he was saying, and that's why I finally, you know, I love being able to sit back and not do a damn thing when you're at media days. But I wanted to reach out once he started saying like how he was just rushing to get fights and wanted to get in there. I'm like, man, you sound like you have a deadline, or you just sound like somebody just wants fight because they want the money. They got they're trying to feed the family, which we, you know, found out he has another newborn. But not a person that's like, hey, I'm trying to make another title run. You figure there would be something more. You're more judicious when you pick those fights.
Right.
You don't just take anything.
He's like, nah, we going.
But he's like, we're just gonna fight, you know. But I think he's doing the right things, you know, of doing the you know, trying to market himself. You know, maybe he'll start doing a little more shit talking or something. But I mean, I can't. I love his fight style. I love everything about him. I love his career, that, you know, he has a military background. I mean, I love everything that he's done. He's funny. But man, if you're trying to make a run at the title, you figure at some point you gotta stop your other side of yourself. That's just like, I want to fight. I want to fight. I want to do it. Unless you just call what it is and just say, I want to make money. That's cool. Because if you're trying to make a title run, bro, you only get so many of those before at some point you restart the whole queue over. If you're young enough and you have enough physicality, yeah, you could go back through that again, you know. Just like we talk about Glover, you know, after that, and it's like, okay, well, how far back does he fall? If he had to start back and say to a point where they're like, okay, bro, well, it might take another 3 or 4 fights to get up there, do you go for it?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you say, well, I don't know, you
we'll
know?
Just call it.
So all these – I mean, one, I do love the guys that still have that drive and say, I'm going for it, because we see plenty of them there just want to keep fighting. Like Cowboy, who we love to see Cowboy fighting. Cowboy isn't going out there saying, hey, I'm trying to make another title run.
Right. He's like,
Joe
Lozon's
like, I'm
fights.
Not trying to go out there and make another title run. You know, when Sanchez was fighting, oh, I'm not trying to go out there and, you know – not that it's being delusional. I mean, I think you have to have the belief – and you have to do that. And Neil has shown greatness in a lot of fights, but we've also seen where he's got to those big fights and he's faltered. And I guess I'm glad that he's got the belief and he's trying to do it. But man, there's a part of me that's like, is that realistic? I mean, is it maybe just better to just start swinging the other way, you know, and just saying, bro, I'll just take anybody. I'm ready to destroy anybody.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. And you get the fights and you can still talk shit and have fun. You know, I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, at some point, is it more realistic for them to maybe not set themselves up for something later on where they feel like, why aren't I getting the push for the title? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, well, bro, everybody else is going to realize that you're not going to get past the hump once you get to that hump, you know. And he already started saying, you know, today when he was like, I don't mind that some people say that I'm the gatekeeper. We've been saying that but people have been saying that for years,
yeah,
with him, that Neil's been
that
watermark.
Respectful version.
A respectful version. I mean, like, at this level, one, people make it to the UFC. Like everybody says, everybody in the UFC is tough. Everybody's a tough fight. But if somebody starts saying that you're the gatekeeper, I would say your first instinct shouldn't be like, oh, that they're immediately saying that, oh, I can't make it to the title. What they're saying to you is that you're the bar.
Yeah.
They're looking at you as like where people are going to measure themselves against.
They don't get past
There's
you.
Nothing
they can't
wrong
be
that.
Elite.
If they can't get past you, they're not even in the conversation.
Yep.
And that's not saying that you can't get there and you can't get back up there, but they're at least saying you're the watering level. You're the level where everybody's like, bro, if you can't make it past this fella, stop delusion. You know,
right.
Don't be delusional. You
yep.
know. So there's something to that, but. Regardless, I love Neil, and I thought his energy was incredible. I had to go back and look because I was like, is his hair new? His hair was like that last time.
Last time out, yeah.
I felt like his hair was a little, like the rest of us old folks, was receding a little bit more. But then when he said about he had the newborn kid, I was like, ah, I get it, bro. I get it.
That's funny.
You know, but yeah, I can't say enough about him. I could talk about him forever. He's always been – he's another one, another cat that even from my time in the UFC and my time outside the UFC has treated with me – with the same respect, and just like most of them are cutting weight. They don't want to do interviews. They don't do whatever. But if there's ever a cat that shows up and does it with a smile and gets through it and gives you like good answers and doesn't give you attitude, it's Neil Magny, man. He's a professional. He's a
All
classic
class.
Professional.
All class.
That's it.
That's Meanwhile, he's got the undefeated monster on the other side. So your top two fights here are the ones that you're really going to care about. I would say, look, there's a lot of MMA this weekend. We're going to talk about some of it because there's Bellator, so there's PFL, there's bare knuckle, there's all kinds of stuff
going on.
But the UFC, those are the two fights you can't miss. You got to circle those on your calendar. You got to see those. Josh Parisian versus Alan Badeau at heavyweight. Badeau is trying to get himself onto that Paris card in September. So it's a big fight for him. Meanwhile, Parisian really open and honest about how stressful his run has been so far, and he's kind of found a way now to make money outside of the UFC, and so that now this is his side gig that's more fun. He believes that stress is going to – the removal of that stress is going to allow him to perform a little bit. Definitely worth checking out if you want to hear his side of it. That's out there from today's media day. Thiago Moises versus Christos Giagos, a couple guys that have some losses, but if you look at their losses to really, really talented guys, man, so that should be a good lightweight scrap. Nate Maniz versus Umar Nurmagomedov. Umar looks every bit the real deal as well. The betting line is insane, man. I mean, you're seeing up there it's like -1,000 against Nate Maniz, who's got an impressive career record as well. But it just goes to show you, I think, the belief in that Nurmagomedov name. But I think that could be a fun fight. I mean, I would pick Nurmagomedov as well, but the line is a little bit wild to see. And then the main card kicks off with Rodolfo Vieira versus Chris Curtis. Rodolfo Vieira, the lifelong BJJ champion, and now making his way into MMA. It was funny because I thought looked really relaxed at media day for the first time. He was like, "No, I'm nervous as hell." He's like, "I hate giving interviews in Portuguese, much less in English." He was like, "I'm super nervous," but
that's pretty cool.
He looked relaxed. It was funny, but then
there was still Chris. Looked relaxed. It was like, "You're saying you're what?" But I was like, "Bro, you look cool as ice up there."
Well, you're faking it really well. But then there was Chris Curtis. I just think this guy is an absolute blast. And I feel like the more and more he gets comfortable and open and honest, the more you really see this guy's personality and how fun he is. So such a fun interview today. Had to share this. This is the action, man, Chris Curtis.
Chris, you got the 7-fight win streak, I believe, 2-0 in the UFC. I mean, what's it feel like for you right now after all this time to be on this run that you're in right now?
It feels great. I guess I should pick up the mic, shouldn't I? Yeah, it feels great besides the fact that, like, we're going to punish you, but give me the next biggest guy in the division. Like, I get Phil Hall, who's already, like, giant. And I'm like, oh, he's an even slightly bigger man. I'm like, thanks, guys. Like, there's could have been way smaller people for me to fight. So, thanks, guys.
That's funny. How do you see your career right now? Like, do you fight with a chip on your shoulder thing? Like, why the hell did I have to wait so long to get here? Or are you kind of just trying to, enjoy the moment and be like, hey, man, the persistence paid off?
I just got to not have a chip on my shoulder, man. I think I fought a long, long time with a chip on my shoulder. And unfortunately, it makes you do dumb shit, make dumb decisions in the fight. So at this point, I'm just trying to enjoy the fact that I'm here. And I've got more experience than most. So I might as well just put the good use. That chip, it does suck. But at the same time, it's giving me an advantage, I feel like, against most people. That it took me a long time to get here. I've had a lot of fights. I've had a lot of things go my way. I have a lot of things not go my way. So I got here late, but at least I got here experienced.
Nice. April, we were supposed to see you then. We didn't get a chance, I guess. Can you lay out what all happened there?
Oh, yeah. was it like 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out? One of my last sparring days. Not doing anything weird. Like, I threw a body shot, and my sparring partner, Greg, happened to throw a kick. And he just shattered my wrist like kindling. Yeah, man, he fractured it in two places. So I was like, okay, it'll be good to fight, right? And the doctor's like, no, it's not going to be good to fight. And we were trying to convince him that it'd be okay. Like, it'll be fine. And he's like, that's not how bones work. So it's very unfortunate.
So a pretty quick turnaround then. So, I mean, are there any lasting – like, what did you – did you have to put it in a cast, or, I mean, how did it go?
There were two 4-millimeter fractures, but they weren't really that bad. Like, they didn't break, it didn't need a surgery or anything. So they're just like, stay off of it. Which, don't train for a few weeks, it'll be fine. So naturally, I trained the next day, and I never stopped training. So it's been a little achy, but it's finally to a point now where it's good. Like, I can throw punches. I had a few weeks to where, it was just kind of useless. So I'm boxing one-handed, I'm wrestling one-handed, doing jiu-jitsu one-handed. But it's finally to the point now where it's good, and it feels good enough to hit people with. So let's go.
Nice. Talk about prepping for a specialist like Rodolfo, right? I mean, no, it's not like there's any secret what his game plan is or what his skill set is. So what's it like preparing for a guy like that?
I've reached a point in my career now where I fought a lot of different people, a lot of different things. And I kind of realized that whenever I prepare for somebody specifically, I tend to fail miserably. my jaunt in PFL taught me the pitfalls of preparing for something that may or may not happen, or someone may be different. So really, instead of worrying about, like, you know, how great he is on the ground, I accept right away. I'm never going to beat Rodolfo Vieira on the ground. I get a hold off of Vieira. Maybe I can get the, like, a weird fluffy submission, but I'm not going to bank on that. Like, I'm not going to out-grapple him. So my camp has been really close to being the same thing, man. Every fight camp, it's polishing my hands, polishing my stand-up, and, you know, improving my wrestling every time. One submission loss in 30-something fights. I'm not known as a grappler, but I'm not really a grappler, but I'm a damn good counter-grappler. I can protect myself and not many people being able to choke me. So, we bank on that. We tune that up a little bit. But it's the same camp as everything. Like, you know, work on your punching, work on your wrestling. I think, I'm never going to just be a better grappler than the guy whose nickname is the Black Belt Hunter. So it comes down to who's the better wrestler.
Do you think that comes from your fighting experience or just your humbleness as a guy? Because here's what. A lot of guys in your position, they'll be like, hey, man, you know, my jiu-jitsu is pretty good, too. You know?
Fuck no. Like, there's no way. They're going to be like, people are like, oh, you think you can grapple him? I'm like, no, his nickname is the Black Belt. Like, why would I even, like, why would that ever be part of the game plan? I love the internet thinks I'm stupid, too. They're like, I always get, like, messages on Twitter, like, hey, man, just don't go to the ground with him. And I'm like, I never would have considered this to be, like, my path to victory. Thank you, wise sir. Like, no, like, come on. I got like 36 fights, 34 fights, something like that. Like, I've been doing this a long time. I'm very self-aware of where I am good at, where I'm bad at, and, like, you know, where I can hold my own. At no point in time is, like, prolonged grappling exchanges going to be part of my plan here. It's just not a thing. Like, no.
So when people hit you up with advice like that, do you hit them back? Like, have you thought about coaching full time?
I'm always like, that's fucking sage advice, bro. Like, I went into this, like, okay, I'm over here, like, doing like guard passing stuff, and I'm working on my X guard. You're like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't grapple. Like, yeah, like, the fuck am I doing?
All right, win here, man. You know, you keep the streak going. Do you have goals in terms of, like, names or what you expect or what you want, or is it still just kind of that settling in time in your UFC career?
Assuming all goes well and I don't get strangled in this fight, there's, like, names I do want. But everybody's like, oh, who are you calling out, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, man, I'm 34. It took me a long time to get here. I'll be 35 next month, actually. Like, I'm getting old. So I can either try to go up the ladder and whatever. If they offer me new contracts, I'll fight anybody. I don't care. Like, you know, there's very few people I won't fight. And those are more so people I train with every day. But they offer me a new contract, I'll fight anyone, anywhere, if their money's right. If the money's not great or a new contract, I'm trying to go backwards. Like, I want to go beat up Joseph Holmes still. Like, nothing, he didn't do anything wrong to me, but he beat my teammate. So, like, I'm on my revenge tour. I want to fight Joseph Holmes. I want to fight Dusko because he beat my teammate. I want to beat up Brian Battle. Nothing personal to Brian Battle. Everybody says he's a really nice guy, and I can respect that. But I feel like I got snubbed for Ultimate Fighter for, like, the third time in a row. So I just want to prove that I should have been the Ultimate Fighter. And, like, so he's going to see this and be like, what the hell did I do to you? It's nothing at all, man. It's not you. I just, like, I have a weird chip on my other shoulder about being snubbed for shit. So I want to fight contender winners. I just want to go ace on, like, a big list of contender guys to show that I should have been signed. Like, I am petty as hell. Like, my other nickname is King Petty, and, like, this is the shit I think about at night.
I love it. Last thing for me, as you said, it's no surprise. It's going to be your striking against his jiu-jitsu, right? So knowing that, what type of fight do you think we see? Like, is this a little bit more, maybe a little bit more tactical, a little bit more moderately paced because you have to be careful of the grappling exchanges? Or do you still go out there and be the guy that you are, the exciting fighter that you are?
I have to go out there and be me, man. Like, once again, PFL taught me a valuable lesson in trying to fight a way that's not conducive to the way I think and the way I feel and react. And you can have a smart fight, which is fine, but at the end of the day, if I'm just sitting there waiting, not wanting to engage, he's probably just going to run me over anyway. So I just got to go out there, trust my wrestling, trust the work we put in, and just take it to him. Like, that's the way I win this fight, is I can't hang back and just let him, you know, rest. I got to go out there, put it on him, take it to him. So, you know, I'm either going to win spectacularly or I'm going to fail spectacularly. But either way, you know, I'm going to go out there doing it as me.
Hey, Chris. With a new contract, are you going to do Chris King Petty Curtis? I mean, new nickname?
No, it's anyone that knows me just knows that I am King Petty, man. It's one of my myriad of nicknames where I spend way too much time thinking about useless petty shit. And they're just like, why do you even think about this? I'm like, I don't know, man. I blame my mom. Like, my mom's a really petty woman as well, so that's who I got it from. Oh, my mom's queen petty. Actually, she's empress petty, as I call her. Like, yeah, she knows it too. So I inherited it from my mom. I'm just this way. I don't know.
What's up with everybody dissing Nickelback?
Bro, Nickelback did nothing wrong. And I don't care who you are. Like, oh, they suck. Like, sure, a lot of bands suck, okay? Like, they get far more hate than anyone because it's cool. And I figured it out. You know why everybody hates Nickelback? Because there was a time when people my age, maybe a little bit older, were going through some shit in high school. Your girl dumped you. Your parents didn't understand you. Nickelback was there for you. And you don't want to be reminded of that person you were when you were at your lowest. That's where the hate comes from.
It's totally understandable. A couple weeks ago, you said that you told me that you weren't living paycheck to paycheck anymore, man. And I just wanted you kind of to expand on that. Like, how does that feel?
So I've been a pro for what, 13 years, somebody told me today, which is weird to think about. So I've been a pro for 13 years, which means I've been living paycheck to paycheck or less than paycheck to paycheck for about 15 years now before this. And that sucked, man, especially when you have, like, a kid and everything. You're trying to, like, start a family, and it's a stressful situation to know that, you know, you can't be the one to be counted on to provide things. You go out there and you bust your ass, you win fights, you know, you make $2,000 and it gets eaten by bills before you even get home. So now I'm the first time in my life, like, I don't have to check my bank account every day. Like, I know that if my son needs anything, it's fine. My son wants anything, it's fine. Like, he abuses this more than I do. Like, I live pretty poor. I don't really want anything. My son abuses the hell out of it. He's like, so, Dad, I miss you. I'm like, what do you want? He's like, all right, I want this game came out. Like, I'm like, okay, fine. But he abuses it more than I do. But it's nice being able to know that my bills are paid. I'm not going to mysterious, like, worry about being homeless, and that, you know, my people and my family and my people I love can, like, rely on me finally to put my part in. So it's a long time coming, man. I think the biggest thing is for me, there's a lot of people who aren't in my life anymore who were there for during the come up that aren't there for whatever reason. Sometimes it's their fault. A lot of times it's my fault that I don't get to pay back. And there's a lot of people who will never speak to me again for various reasons. It's probably my fault that I'll never get the payback and show my gratitude. So that sucks, but it's nice to know that in this position, if for every reason they ever reached out to me, I'd be able to be there for them.
And is that, like, even more a chip on your shoulder? Like, you could have been here during your Contender Series fight, like, right? Like, so, like, you had to spend that much time grinding on the regional scene. So, like, is that even more of a chip on your shoulder?
You would think yes, but at the same time, like, the more I thought about this a lot, actually. It's something that, like, it's crossed my mind a whole lot. You think about it, and had I been signed after Contenders, I don't know where I'd be right now, because from post-Contenders, I went through a lot of stuff. A lot of things happened in my personal life. A lot of things happened in my professional life. Had some really high moments fighting, and then some, my only, like, losing streak to date. And that was a low, low moment. But I think from all of that, I've grown, I've learned, I've become a better fighter, I've become a better athlete, just a person. And I don't know, man. Maybe I would have got signed and fucking got stomped out immediately. Like, who knows, man? Like, so I tried to think about it. Like, it's one of those things that just keep me up at night. But now I just convinced myself I would have been signed. And then they'll be like, hey, by the way, go fight young up-and-coming Kamaru Usman. And then I got my ass kicked. So maybe it worked out for the best. I have to believe that.
And then finally for me, fantastic beard. When are we going to start talking about Chris Curtis having the best beard in the UFC?
So I need to actually, like, comb this out, because I just got it trimmed up. But if you guys can see it, it's literally, like, I mean, another 2 inches of beard length here. So I need to straighten it out for the fight, because I'll give it. Julian Marquez has a beautiful beard, and I hate him for it. Absolutely hate him for it. He knows that, like, I have beard envy. So I need to, like, show up on fight night with just this beautiful combed out beard, like, gloss, like, just glistening, because I absolutely hate Julian Marquez for his beard. That dude has a beautiful beard. Like, it's manicured, it's very like, he's got, like, moisturizers in it. I'm like, oh, you motherfucker. Like,
thanks, Chris.
That's King Petty right there.
I can't. I don't know why I'm this way. I really don't. I wish I did.
The MMA Roasted needs Adam. What is that? MMA Roasted.
Yeah, Adam Hunter.
He needs to keep an eye on this cat for one of those comedy
Curtis
shows.
Would be great for one of the comedy shows.
His comedic timing is really good.
It's
he
really
had
good.
Me rolling. Like, I mean, like, I was tired and grumpy as Hot T was pointing out, and he had me rolling in my seat.
It was
man.
Good.
Oh man, he was funny.
Good. And I just love the honesty too of like, yeah. I'm not going to go do grappling with Adolfo Vieira. Like, what are you talking about? Because we have heard so many people that are just like,
I mean,
look, he's great at jiu-jitsu, but hey, you know who I roll with, man? I roll with black belts too. Like, he doesn't, you know. There's so many guys that have said that,
yep.
Not just against Adolfo Vieira, but against those like BJJ specialists. Got a big sip of the Duke on now. He's like, don't be afraid. It's your birthday. So anyway, I just had to share that because I thought that was a lot of fun. Look, the
He's
rest
so
of this
funny.
Card.
That was
it's
great.
A hardcore card, but there's some names on here you'll recognize. Carlos Olberg versus Tefan Chukwi. Shaylin Nurdinbieke versus TJ Brown. That might be the one where most people don't, but you should. But Olberg
look at the way you just said that last name like
come
it was
on,
crazy. Is that how you
on.
Say it?
Yeah. Brown.
Well done.
Holly and Paiva versus Sergey Morozov. That's a great fight. JP Bays was back versus Cody Durden. Brian Kelleher versus Mario Bautista. And then the fight that Cole Coffey will certainly be paying attention to early in the day.
Yes,
Vanessa Demopoulos versus Jin Yufrey. So a fun UFC card. Now, let me just say, not the only card to pay attention to this weekend. And, oh, by the way, Bellator 282 is looking pretty dang solid, man. You take a look at this card. I mean, the matchups kind of jump off the page. Gegard Mousasi in the main event versus Johnny Eblen, who's kind of been tearing up the ranks and making his way up there. Danny Sabatello, who quickly has become one of the biggest trash talkers in the game against Leandro Higo. I think people either love Danny Sabatello or they hate him. The dude likes to talk. But,
he does.
But that's, I mean, there's a lot of action, and that thing has gotten personal. Enrique Barzola versus Magomed Magomedov. That's one of the best fights of the weekend, to be honest with you. Brennan Ward is back. Anatoly Tokov is back. I mean, you go down there. I mean, you just load up.
Kat Zingano's
back versus Pam Sorensen. I mean, there's names all up and down this card.
Lara,
I'm telling you, this might be.
That's a good card.
I hate saying,
that's a
best
card
or whatever. No, I just hate saying, like, where does this rank?
I see.
I was trying to – dude, I'm so impressed with this card. I think this is one of the best cards Bellator's ever put together.
That's what I was going to say. I thought you were going, we're saying, like, you were thinking this was the best card of the weekend. Like, this card is stacked. That's a really, really good card. And if you had to go down the line, I can see where somebody would maybe lean towards this one.
Yep. You could definitely make the argument this is a better
card
than the
USC card.
Now,
sure.
I'm saying it'd be an argument because I'm not saying it is.
Yeah.
But this – I mean, look, this is –
this card's good.
This is good. Lucas Brennan is on there. Aaron Jeffrey's on there against Fabio Aguiar. Mandel Nalo is back. I mean,
yep, that's really good.
Premise
right,
is
right
on
from
there
the
against Shabli. Like, it's a really good Bellator card.
It is. I mean, people give a lot of shit to Bellator sometimes with the way they put some cards. But man, this past year they've been fucking killing it, man. They've been killing it. Not every card might not be like stellar, whatever, but every card. I mean, look at the fucking UFC card. Not every card can be stellar top to bottom, but there's going to be some gems, and there's going to be a lot of ones that are going to surprise you. So I think from both of these events, yes, it doesn't have the glitz and the glam of like a numbered pay-per-view or something, but I guarantee both events are going to deliver. I mean,
Well, the good news is you can watch both of them because Bellator is on Friday night. UFC is on Saturday night, so you can watch both of these cards. And I'm telling
you, more often.
This is, I know, I hate when they're, I hate when they're.
I get it. They don't want to be like, well, why are we going to play second fiddle? And plus two, a lot of times, it's just pure venue availability. As much as, I mean, I think it's smart that they try to not compete, but also, they're also going to say, well, we're just as big in our minds, we're going to do this. But sometimes it does come down to the venue.
Well,
you know?
True. And then the other variable as well is don't forget, like, at some point, they just got to plan their schedule. And they can't be worried about, well, what's their schedule? Well, hold on, we can't do our schedule until they have their schedule. It's like, dude, you just got to plan your schedule and just.
Makes a lot of sense like that, especially looking forward. Like, if you know that there's a possibility you might be competing. But even on Saturday's, I mean, what better? That's the biggest entertainment day anywhere. You're up competing against concerts. You're competing against whatever. You know, and if they want to know that they want to go to a town, there might be the possibility of something going on. I mean, granted, at this point, Mohegan Sun should just name it the Bellator Sun Arena
should,
or something. In fact, just name Uncasville Bellatorville, you know, just name the damn town after them. I mean, they're bringing so much money and so much entertainment there.
They have set up shop
in there. They should just redo it. So, no, it's great, man. Great cards. And I'm loving this Friday. So this will be one of those weekends where MMA people are going to love the fact that they have day after day of fights to watch it. This is also the day where you have friends like me that are casual that don't understand what I'm watching for 2 days in a row. They think I'm just watching dudes sniffing other dudes' crotches.
Wow.
I like a good crotch smell.
Well, listen, I will
That's the Duke started.
The Duke is setting in early today. I like it. Well, listen, I will not be out there covering Bellator 282, of course, because I'll be here. But I did get a chance to speak to Gegard Mousasi, and I wanted to share that as well because
why go if you get the main headliner? You know, I mean, let me just swing my dick around and get this right, man. Let me just swing my dick around and get what I need.
The fine people at Bellator were nice enough to set me up with an interview with Gegard Mousasi, and I love Gegard's attitude because I feel like, you know, a long time. I mean, he is a pretty quiet guy, but I feel like he used to not like talking to us.
Yeah, when he first came on the scene, he was like pulling teeth.
Yes.
He was so quiet. The Gegard that is now, that exists, killed off the other one, and it's like a total. We got the alternate reality guy that somehow slipped through a crack in reality or in the universe and came down, killed the quiet one.
I love it.
And now he's got
this like ridiculous dry sense of humor.
He's outrageous.
I love it. So it's very subtle. You know, it's not like he's not quite Chris Curtis in his delivery.
No.
But it's a different kind of delivery. He's got that same thing. So I definitely want to share it because I enjoyed talking to Gegard. So here's Gegard Mousasi.
Gegard Mousasi, it's crazy, man. 19 years as a professional at this point. I mean, nearing 20 years and fighting better than ever, maybe at any point in your career, man. What's the key, you think, to your success right now?
Money. They pay me so I show up. Yeah, still going, you know. I don't know. I feel, of course, body is not the same as it used to be. It hurts more. Tough and here and there, but I'm winning my fights, so it's still going good, so that's why I continue.
I love it. You know, you talk about your career this long. Has it been a passion the whole time, or have you had like ups and downs in terms of, you know, being in love with the sport?
No, passion, man. I hate when people say, you know, I don't love it. I said 100 times, if I had like 50 million in the bank, I wouldn't do it. I'm not crazy. So yeah, it's still better than a normal job. So it pays the bills, and I can take care of my family. Passion? What passion? I'm dieting. I'm rolling with sweaty men every day. My body hurts. I don't sleep well when I'm training. Pressure, you name it. I don't know. There's not much enjoyment. The process is not, but the results, yeah. If the results are good, then it's fulfilling. Yeah.
And when we talk about results, are we talking about the victory and getting the hand in the air, or are we just talking about the paycheck that comes along?
No. It's you know, then everything comes together. You know, it's the people around you that work with you, you know, the celebration after the fight, you know, those things come, you know, it's all in the package. And so, yeah, those things are nice. Yeah.
Very, very nice. I like the fact too, Gegard, that right now you're saying, hey, I think I'm the best middleweight in the world. You know, you haven't always been a big talker, but now you're saying, hey, look, I just think I'm that good. I'm just being honest. So what clicked that you finally said, look, I got to go out there and say these things. I got to talk about myself a little bit.
Well, I never felt it. I never felt like, oh, I'm the best or anything like that. But at this stage of my career, I feel everything has come together. And I feel that, you know. I think I'm in the top 3-4 of the middleweights. Unfortunately, I can fight Whittaker or Israel Adesanya. So there's no way for me to achieve the number one spot. But But yeah, it is what it is. You know, I'm doing my thing here. You know, I really don't. I'm not gunning for the number one spot. But people are like, yeah, if you say it, they repeat it. So now they consider me as one of the best. At least they consider me as one of the best. Because at middleweights, I think I've achieved enough. You know, I've done a lot. If you look at the whole record of me throughout all these years, you know, I should be there as one of the best middleweights, you know. At least top 20, top 10 at least, I feel.
Yeah, I agree. I think top people 10. Don't respect. Top, yeah. Don't say top 20. That's terrible, man. Top 10 for sure.
Yeah, well,
I think the longevity is what people don't respect sometimes. Yeah. I mean, there's moments, you know, somebody puts together one great year, two great years. That's impressive to see. Yeah. But when somebody does it for 10 years, 15 years, that deserves respect.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of guys. They look phenomenal. Again, let's say Junior Dos Santos. He looked in the beginning unbeatable, and then it was lose win. You know, you have a lot of those guys that they have a certain time that when they look very great, unbeatable, and then after that they look normal. You know what I mean? So it's
right.
But I've been on the top since I was 20 almost. You know, I fought in Pride. So I'm still going, and I'm still on top. So that's my my big achievement. Let's say I haven't been I didn't have the Anderson Silva, let's say, on the invincibility era where he looked that he couldn't be stopped. But my longevity, that's my thing, you know.
Yeah, it's incredible, and to think that you're still just 36, which is crazy. Have you thought about how long you want to keep doing this? I mean, knowing that you don't love it, that it's not your passion, that it's just a job. Have you thought about how long you want to keep putting yourself through this?
Well, I think this fight and end of the year, and I'm going to look after that. Because I don't know, you know, making plans. I don't even look after this if I'm going to go to lightweight or whatever. I don't look at it. I'm looking at this fight, end of the year, and I'm going to look at it. Because my real estate thing is also going well. I see the banks, what the thing is going to work out with the banks. So I could, you know, I could retire. But I don't know. If I keep winning, if I keep dominating easily, you know, it's difficult to stop. But if I keep losing injuries, you know, it's game over.
Are there things that you want to do outside of MMA? Like, you know, we see MVP going to do bare knuckle boxing. We see boxing. I know you've talked about that at times. Do you want to do some of that, or does it matter to you?
I would love to do one boxing fight, but, you know, the opportunity doesn't show itself. I'm not going to do bare knuckle fight. Those guys get cut, and my hands already hurt, my wrist, and my... So it's... I wouldn't do that. But I would love to do boxing, but it just... The opportunity doesn't present itself. So I just do what this MMA fights.
Makes sense. Well, another MMA fight coming up on June 24th against Johnny Eveland, undefeated. Talk to me about your thoughts. I mean, this guy's been kind of tearing through the division to make his way to you.
You don't know. I don't know. To be honest, you know, there's a lot of things I haven't seen from him, but he doesn't present something new I haven't seen. You know, his stand-up is not wow or... his cardio or his ground and pound or his jiu-jitsu. It's not nothing that I have to say, wow, oh, shit, you know. But you never know. He's undefeated. I haven't seen him in bad positions, you know. It doesn't matter. Maybe he's very tough. Maybe he can take a lot of punishment. I don't know. But if you clip someone, you knock him out, it doesn't matter if they're tough, if they're durable. Those things don't matter. So the thing is now, I'll go into the fight. I'm gonna go for the finish with that mentality. I gave it all, you know. And whoever wins, you know, I do care. I'm going for the win, but you know. I have lost before. I know how, you know, things can happen in this fight. But I feel very confident And so on one hand, I'm not worried. On the other hand, you know, fuck it.
That's hilarious. it's the truth, right? So at this point in your career, like you said, I mean, you've seen everything. It's not like he brings anything to the table that you haven't seen. So in training, do you bother like having guys trying to mimic a person or look exactly like them, or does that even matter to you at this point?
Well, I don't know. I don't bring different guys. I train with the same guys, you know. With wrestling, I train with one good friend. Getting up, I train with another one. The stand-up, I do with everybody. The last two opponents were also the same wrestlers, take you down, ground and pound. I've been training for him for almost 1 year. Same style, you know. Try to take you down. So for me, it's getting up, takedown defense, and stand up. It could, but I don't know, you know, that's my area. So, yeah, nothing new. No, same as usual.
Yeah. He's got a lot of finishes. They're all in the first round. Do you view that first round as dangerous? Like you got to kind of weather that storm a little bit or no? I'm sensing no as I look at your face.
I don't see him as a big puncher, to be honest. But, you know, if you clip someone on the right spot, if you don't see the punch coming, you know, you're going to go down. It's small gloves. But what I've seen, he's not that of a big puncher. But it's a small glove. You have to respect that anything can happen. So, I don't know. We see. I think I'm a much bigger puncher than him. I hit harder than him. So I think that's my advantage over him in that department.
Victorious here. You said one more at the end of the year. You're not thinking about it yet. But, I mean, have you thought about any conditions? Like you'd like it at 205, as you talked about, or you'd like it to be in Europe, or you'd like me? Is there anything about it, or you just know you want to fight one more time before the end of the year?
Well, they said three fights this year. I thought Euromero is a candidate, but he's fighting Melvin Manhoff September. Corey Anderson versus Tokov. Tokov? Well, I don't know.
Nemkov?
Anyway, light heavyweight, you know, but they're having their rematch. So I don't know who they're going to give me. To be honest, I don't even think about it because my focus is now on him and then. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow I get a car accident. I die. I don't give a fuck. Why should I worry about what's next after this fight? So I'm looking
don't
at this guy. And after that, we'll see. We'll see. But I would love to do boxing. You know, let's see to see if it's possible. But even boxing, I don't know who I would fight. You know, this guy's Jake Paul. Everyone wants to fight them. That's not going to happen. You had Anderson Silva, which I wanted, but doesn't look that's going to happen anytime soon also. We'll see.
I'd love that. You and Anderson would be a great fight, right? I mean, two legendary MMA names with boxing. I think that'd be a phenomenal fight.
Yeah, I think so. He does well in boxing. It looks good.
He's done really well.
Yeah. So not like I'm it's an old man I'm fighting. He looks good in boxing, so. Something to think about.
Yeah. Well, you laid out the scenario, right? Like all the names in Bellator seem to be kind of tied up right now. So it's not like you're saying, I don't want to fight Bellator, but it's got to be a fight that makes sense. So maybe that's the one that makes sense.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. It's just my name is not that, that I can have demands. I just have to sit and say yes. So who knows? We'll see. After this, maybe light heavyweight. Maybe then I can push for certain things.
I love it. What's the real estate that you're doing, Gegard? Are you investing in properties? Are you out there as a broker?
No, we'll still. Yeah, we buy anything we can if it's profitable. But the loans have come to an end, so I refinance. So I think I'm going to do well after this year. No, you know, I'm not a big spender. For me, it's more than enough. Me and my family can live. So after this year, I really can stop. I can't stop even now, but, you know, I still want to do fun stuff, you know.
Yeah, little extra money in the bank as long as you're winning doesn't hurt, right?
No, no, definitely. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, Gegard, I appreciate the time as always. We don't know what the future holds, but I guess let's talk about June 24th. Final question. What do you see? Is this a fight that gets done quickly? And I mean, you've been tearing things up lately. Is this another one that you go get it done quickly, or do you think this undefeated kid is going to push you a little bit?
I don't know. Vanderford looked confident also, but, you know, it's if I hit him, I think let's see what he's made of. He could give me troubles, but I don't think so. Because I do the things that I do now in training. People cannot hang in there with me. And training with wrestlers, heavyweights. I'm training every day with heavyweights. I can hang with heavyweights. I can hang with this guy. But we'll see. I think two rounds.
Two rounds. There we go. Now we're talking. Much respect. Yeah. All right, Gegard. Always a pleasure catching up with you, man. And best of luck. And we'll see what the end of the year holds after that.
Yes. More money. That's what I was going to do.
All right, so it's Gegard Mousasi, hyped up in his own special way of this fight. He's got his own little subtle trash talk there. I don't believe he's almost done cold coffee. What do you think? He's just, that's some contract posturing, right? There's no way.
Maybe.
A couple more. You think so?
I mean, I think before he had that resurgence, I feel like he was on the precipice of maybe walking away.
Right.
And, I mean, then, you know, shifts organizations, you know, has some ups, has some downs or whatever. I'm actually not surprised, but for him to do so well, not be so long removed from the belt, I would think that, yeah, I mean, it's probably posturing, but how old is he now? He's not the youngest guy.
I'm pulling up right now. Relatively young.
Relatively young. Oh, he's 36.
I mean, that's
with,
I mean, I guess he's not a heavyweight.
58
I guess
36 with 58 fights.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a lot of wear and tear, man. Yeah. That's a lot of wear and tear. The fact that he's still doing it is a credit to his work, his genetics, and his work ethic. So, I mean, it could be maybe a little bit of both. It could be a little bit of both because to say, you know, when we talk about guys that are like, oh, I'm going to give another go, I want to go a little bit longer, this is that point. You know, if he's fighting in 2 years from now, I would probably be surprised.
I would agree with that. 2 years from now, yeah, but he's saying maybe the end of this year. Maybe. It's possible.
And the end of the year comes up pretty quick, especially when all these cats, you know, start saying like, well, I'm just going to take two fights or whatever.
Yeah.
We're already into June. June's almost done. And there's only five months left in the – or I guess six. I can't count.
Well, by the time you fight, yeah, I mean, you're through there.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what it will go up against, and that is PFL. This is the second week of the second half of their season. Essentially,
PFL 5 2022.
You've got the featherweights and the heavyweights in action, plus Anthony Pettis in lightweight action against Stevie Ray. Now, it's interesting because here's what's interesting is that Anthony Pettis has already clinched his spot, so he's in. But Stevie Ray could earn his way in. So you wonder if maybe, you know, will
pays
the fact that
to the side and says, hey, can you just drop down, bro?
I'm not about to throw my conspiracy theories out again for PFL. But, yeah, but it's just interesting. Like, how will that affect things? Like, does Anthony Pettis kind of cruise a little bit knowing that it doesn't matter, whereas Stevie Ray – I mean, Stevie Ray would still need a finish early on, which I don't know that that's necessarily going to happen. But if he could get a second-round finish or a first-round finish – he would oust Haush Manfio from the playoffs, and he would sneak in. So there is at least the possibility that if it was a third-round finish, then it's going to come down to some tiebreakers. So,
yeah.
But a first or a second-round finish for Stevie Ray, and he can get himself into the playoffs.
I mean, Stevie's a stud, but I mean, like,
it's a tough out.
Even like we said, like, even if somebody wanted to do somebody a favor and take it easy on him, they still don't want an L on the record.
Right.
You know, it's not – he's like, bro, I feel for you. If anything, you're going to get lucky and get a decision on me. You know, you're not going to knock me out, and I'm going to not let that happen. But nobody wants to take an L on their record, and especially Anthony. I mean, I think people have had a lot of questions of where he was and where he's still fitting things. You know, I think he probably wants to be dominant as well. But knowing that especially their format and this sort of tournament format, you have to be able to keep something in the tank, you know. So I think he probably gives as much as he needs to secure a victory. But what's the incentive to go out and go ballsy crazy every round 100%, you know, trying to go for that knockout unless you feel that dominant? You know, maybe this is one of those fights where it's like, bro, just fight to win because you know you're going to need it in time in your next fight. You already know how the fights are sort of laying out. Just win, you know, as, you know, easy as you can. That's not going to be easy with a guy like Stevie Ray, but you got to save something in the tank. And that's what's kind of unique about this format as opposed to others that are like, man, I want to win. I want to get to the title. You know, I want to go whatever. You know, you're fighting to try to make an impression. You're already in. He's already in.
Yep.
He already knows he's on to the next level. So that kind of changes what you have to bring to a fight. And maybe that's kind of good. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. If you know that, hey, bro, you just need to get a win and you're moving on to the – you're already on to the next step, you know. Save your body. For the long game, you know what your next sort of steps are, whereas if you don't know what's going on, you don't know that you made it on to the next level – you're going to give 110%. You might blow out. You might blow your load quick, and then, you know. So I don't know. There's definitely some more gamesmanship in this sort of format than something where it's a popularity game.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of what the UFC
Look, I love the PFL format. I really do, man. The season format.
It's pretty cool.
I like it a lot, man. And it's because of that. You can see exactly, you know, what goes on. So I did. All right. So listen, that's going on. And then on top of that, you got BKFC on Friday night as well. So, I mean, Friday night is insane. You're going to need like three screens of action. The main event is Luis Palomino versus Elvin Brito. But you got Jimmy Rivera on there making his BKFC debut. Sick. That's a name you want to tune in for.
Yeah.
You got Beck Rollins against Britton Hart Beltran. Rematch there. I know you love Beck Rollins.
Yes,
we've had some good times with her over the years. She's always fun. Britton Beltran, by the way, if you want to see an interview with Britton Beltran, I interviewed her early last week, and she was talking about this fight. She had to pull out of this early. I had to reschedule this. And just to put it bluntly, man, it was deemed a medical emergency, and I was like, hey, don't feel like you have to get into this if you don't want to. I mean, medical emergency is pretty vague, but if it's private, feel free to keep it private. Exactly. And she was like, no, I'll talk about it. I had a miscarriage and went to share everything. And then not only the difficulty of a miscarriage, which, of course, is devastating for any woman, you know, it's trying to start a family. But then it happened right before her husband's, Joey Beltran's, last fight, in which he got knocked out. And so she feels like this added degree of guilt because she thinks that like she messed with his head before the fight.
Oh, good
and
Lord.
That, yeah. And
that's
I'm like,
tough.
I
that's it was, a lot of baggage you don't want to take into a fight.
It was funny because you're in an interview and I'm literally trying, you know, you're trying not to get too involved in an interview, but I was just like, look, personally, I hope you can release yourself of that. Like, that's not your fault. You know what I mean? Like, you can't feel guilt because of that. So, but damn. So there's a lot going on
that's
there for her.
Lore.
If you want to check that out over
that's
on the, the
that's
MMA
deep,
Underground
man.
YouTube
that's
channel.
Deep, man. I mean, like, they already go in with enough possible self-doubt or whatever. The last thing, I mean, that's, like, crazy real-life shit. That's kind of shit that just can cripple you outside, like, in any occupation. But let alone go in there one where you're fighting for your, you know, you're fighting, literally, well, I want to say fighting for your life, but you're not actually fighting for your life, but... Dude, shit.
It's tough.
Shake and that was, shit off. That ain't you.
It was one of those things too. I was talking to her and I was like, man, I'm glad that you're sharing this because I think it's one of those things where
you need to be able to talk about it.
You need to be able to talk about it for her to just release herself of that, but then also for people to understand, like, there is so much stuff that goes on in these people's lives that they come in and have a bad performance, and you look at it and you're like, you suck, or you're this, or you're that.
Why'd you miss weight?
Yeah, and then like, dude. And these people that like message fighters and stuff and tell them about stuff, I mean, it's just bizarre. But
I know nobody that listens to this show does that because they're obviously, like as we said before, the best looking. The kids are very, very smart. They're wise beyond their age. Nobody would do that stupid shit that listens to the show because that's class A, number one stupid bullshit.
Yep.
Like, you're just a piece of shit human being if you're going to do something like that.
Especially when you don't realize that they're going through stuff like that.
Yeah, because everybody's going through shit. That's why, like, goes back to the whole, I mean, I'm not a religious person, but somebody's like, you don't, until you walk something in somebody's shoes, until you walk in their shoes, until you don't know their story, don't assume that you know or that you know what that person's going with. Everybody has their own issues. Everybody has their own battles. You know, we, even though this sport is an entertainment and this sport is glamorized and we see so much of these fighters, we feel like we know them. You should never feel comfortable enough to ever talk about this sort of shit, especially something like this. I mean, granted, it's one thing, you know, with even the weight. I mean, if you want to have displeasure, that's cool. Just fucking say it to yourself. Say it to your buddies. Don't at the fighter. Don't at the team. Don't whatever. Like, because you seem like a complete fucking douchebag. You don't know what's going on. I hate it, especially when somebody, like, comes at, you know, when some of the female, you know, they either hit their period or whatever. And somebody's like, why couldn't you make weight? The guy next to you is making weight. And it's like, just fucking die, dude. Like, you're fucking stupid, you know? I mean, but you're right. I mean, maybe that's a better message is that, I mean, there's always going to be people that will have issues or displeasures. But it's that step of taking it to the fighter. That's not your job to take it to the fighter. And why do you feel that you need to tag a fighter? Why do you need to whatever? If you're upset about it, okay. And you just need to vent about it, okay. Don't at the fighter. Don't at the team.
Don't DM them.
Don't DM them. And, like, who does that?
Yeah.
Just because the platform allows you to have a form of communication, that form of communication and that connection is much tighter than you would ever have in real life. So don't take that for granted and don't think that that's your right to do that because this technology does it. Does it allow it? Yes. But does that make it right? No. Have some sort of common decency. You know, I could write the White House right now and tell Biden, hey, you need to do this, this, this. Should I? Probably not. Do I have the availability to do it? I do.
Well, and truthfully, is Biden never going to see it if you write the White House general address? But these people's personal social media, they're going to see it.
It's so shitty.
And I don't care who you are. It bugs you. You know what
it's
I mean?
Shitty.
Like, it bugs you.
Come on, man. You're so, like, do you want somebody to, like, because now I want to troll your mom and be like, how did you have this kid? You don't want me to troll your mom because you're a dickhead.
But I will.
But I will.
All right, listen, it's a busy, busy week in combat sports. Just say if you like what you listen to, do us a favor, will you? Make sure you're subscribed, first of all. If you're not subscribed,
not
be
after
subscribed.
That rant right
no,
there.
No, after that rant right there, be subscribed. Because we know if you're subscribing, you're not that douchebag.
You're
if,
not that douchebag.
If you're that douchebag, I'm going to tell you right now, unsubscribe.
There it is.
You know what I mean?
Take your money because you're a dickhead.
But if you like what you listen to, subscribe to wherever you're listening. We appreciate that. If you want to give us some rating, if you want to give us some reviews, we'd appreciate that. That helps us grow the
it's
podcast.
It's been proven that if you subscribe, your kids get better SAT scores.
I'm just saying. The data's there.
The numbers are there. We can crunch the numbers and prove that their college entrance scores go much higher.
Our analytics team has the data.
They do.
Our analytics team has the data.
Don't make us reach out to them.
Shout out to the
Don't
analytics team.
Don't make me at them.
They're working hard behind the scenes. We really want to appreciate them. And by the way, if you want to take your game to the next level, head on over to patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow for as little as $3 a month. You can help support the squad. We really appreciate it. You get exclusive access to the and a half episodes where we wrap up every UFC episode. Cole Coffey's been sitting in on a few of those as of late.
I know. I'm surprised we didn't lose people after that. They're like, man, we just want Morgan.
Just
want
to hear just Morgan.
Want John just Morgan, want Morgan on there.
You can reach us very much directly over there. Sometimes my social media gets a little bit loaded down.
Well,
so.
I'm just say if there's ever a benefit, like if you're part of the Patreon, you have access to a direct message line inside the program
your
as
family.
Well. I mean, like
we got you.
Your family, like you send a message, you're gonna respond. If we don't get to it immediately, I mean, we get it pretty quick, but I mean, like we'll always get to it. And if we don't, fucking, I'll. What's that thing that people do when they
self-flagellate,
where they like whip themselves? We'll do that.
I feel like flatulation is gas.
It is, and I was like. Well, whatever. We'll make ourselves feel bad if we missed it, but we get to everything. I mean, you get a personal direct line.
Flagellation would be the word.
That's it. It still sounds like farting.
I mean, we've definitely been guilty of self-flatulation as well.
Is but that whacking off?
No.
or so that's still the farting?
That would still just be farting okay. on yourself.
Yeah, I fart a lot.
Wow. And if you think we're idiots, go ahead and listen to us anyway. We do the best we can. Good to be here. Glad to be back in the good old US of A. Had
yes,
a great time over in Belgium.
You.
But happy to be back.
Did you have a big honey-do list when you got back?
No, we just went and had dinner at P.F. Chang's and got some sleep. I will say that I was awfully tired, and I was trying to have some frosty beverages and watch TV because, you know, I've been gone. I wanted to catch up on some of the shows. You know, there's a new Real Sports out I wanted to watch.
You're such a sports nerd.
And that's the only, like, general sports thing I watch.
But still, all you do is sports and podcasts. Like, I watch, like, podcasts, random weird sci-fi shit, like, nonstop.
No, I'm basically sports and podcasts. That's about it. And then, I was basically, like, falling asleep on the couch. She was like, will you just take your ass to bed? And I was like,
because you started snoring.
I was just, like, kind of struggling. Like, I was doing, like, the trying to stay awake thing. And she's like, just take your ass to bed. So I did. So I was trying to be responsible. All right.
Well, we're glad that you made it back because that's one of the things. Like you said, you never think about it. It's always fun to go elsewhere.
It is fun to go elsewhere, but you don't want to get stuck. It's glad to be back. Loaded weekend of MMA. Watch that. I'm actually going to have to watch Bellator and BKFC and PFL on delay because I'm going to go to the Las Vegas Lights game on Friday night. So if anybody happens to be in Las Vegas and wants to go hang out, I'll be in the pitch side pools, bro, with my feet chilling in the little kiddie pool.
With the other one percenters.
Yelling
here
at the linesman. I mean, I love going to my Las Vegas Lights game. I'm excited. I hope we get an MLS team here at some point, but they ain't going to have pitch side pools where I can soak my feet
on the
sidelines. Or
they would be a heck of a lot more expensive.
Yes, they would be a lot more. So I'll see you there. In the meantime, thanks for listening.